we inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to The Core. Glad to be with you today on this Wednesday edition of the program. Walker Wildman here with you. I'm your Monday, Wednesday, Friday host of the program. Mr. Rick Green is with you each Tuesday and Thursday of the week. And I've got to say, my energy is on up there with Rick's. I mean, you get around Rick, Bobby, and the guy's got some energy.
He's addictive.
He is. He's got a ton of energy.
Yeah, he does.
But I don't think he's got me beat. I mean, we might be, you know, on the same level or on the same playing field.
Yours is more tactical.
Rick's is more out of control. So appreciate that. I'll take that as a compliment, Bobby.
Shotgun as opposed to sniper rifle.
And then I'll figure out after the show when I have time to think if that was a compliment or not.
Oh, yes.
Hey, glad to have you all listening to the program. If you want to check out the show, you can do so over at AFR.net or the AFR app on your phone, tablet device, etc. We are streaming the video over at streaming.afa.net, streaming.afa.net. We'll have on some guests for the program today later in the show. My brother Wesley will be with us. Stephen Black will be with us in the last segment, and then Gabrielle Bruno is going to be with us here in just a little bit. So we've got a few guests lined up for the program, so you're not going to want to miss that later in the show. Hey, you just heard Mickey Addison talking about our event we have coming up in October, and you say, well, October is so far away. Who plans for October when we're not even in July? Well, I would recommend you do so if you want to come to the Ark Encounter. Why? Because we are over 100 registrations thus far, and we've got enough capacity for roughly 200. All right, so if you want to come to the Ark Encounter, AFA at the Ark is the name of the event. I'll be there, my family, my brother and his family, along with the Addison family. We'll all be there at the Ark Encounter and at the Marriott Hotel in Cincinnati, having different meals together and events together there at the hotel. If you want to experience all of that, you can do so by going to afa.net/events, afa.net/events. And the dates for that are October 26 and 27. October 26 and 27. The event name is AFA at the Ark. We'll have a great day and a half there in Kentucky and Ohio area. So look forward to seeing you there. Our scripture for the week, we're over in Psalm 76. Psalm 76, I want to point out verses 7 through 9. The writer here, this is another Psalm of Asaph, but the writer here says, but you are to be feared, talking about the Lord. Who can stand before you when once your anger is roused? From the heavens you utter judgment, the earth feared and was still. When God arose to establish judgment to save all the humble of the earth. What stands out to me here among a couple of different things, but what stands out to me today when I read this is that in verse 8 it says that the Lord from the heavens uttered judgment and the earth feared and was still. And so you think about the power displayed there, and as finite little human beings, we try to wrap our mind around things. And we just can't seem to do it sometimes. And, you know, we are finite. We are humans. We're actually one of the most complex or the most complex creature on the earth. The human is the most complex creation or created being on the earth throughout the entire creation account. You can look at all the animals in the world. The human body, the human species is the most fascinating and complex living being on the earth. And so you look at the human and you think about the human as the best. I mean, we're intellectual. We can think with logic and reason. We have emotions. I mean, I'll think about all these ways that differentiates humans from other species or different kinds of animals. And so in one sense, we view ourselves a little highly in the creation order, in the creation account. You know, we view ourselves pretty highly. I mean, after all, we've been given the responsibility to steward the earth, the entire earth. Humans have been given the duty to steward the earth and steward it wisely and also oversee all of the other living beings on the planet. So the human is pretty fascinating, pretty amazing. And so that's the human. But then you think of God. And raise your hand if you've ever uttered a word and the entire earth was feared or became in fear and then became still. Nobody raised their hands ever, all right? Because we just don't have that power. We just don't have that authority. I mean, very few of us can actually cause anyone to be still or to have fear over our presence. But that's the power and the magnitude of God's authority. It's really beyond human comprehension that one being, God, with the Trinity, can cause the entire earth to fear and be still. It's a whole nother level of power and authority that we sometimes have a hard time grasping. So next time you're thinking about how much power does God have, is God in control, you look at Psalm 76, and it'll tell you exactly how much God is in control. And this also, you know, this seems like a separate, a rabbit trail, but it's really not. But this is a problem with the entire, you know, Green New Deal, climate change, man-made global warming narrative. The problem, one of the key problems with the response to it or the reaction to it is that many men think that we're in control. They think we can control the weather. I mean, look at the China is trying to do some of this now. Some in the U.S. are looking into this and kind of bragging about it, that we can control the weather. No. No, we can't control the weather. Oftentimes man thinks he is God. And you know what happens when that happens? Throughout Scripture, when man tries to act like God, he will be humbled. That's the lesson that we see in Scripture. One story I want to get to, at least this segment, is what's going on in our military. You know, every time the Trump administration did a lot of good as far as restoring dignity, decency, and a sense of morale in our military, and, refocusing our military on its primary duty to defend the nation, defend the homeland. But all it takes is one administration to come in and they just sweep all that stuff away and start undermining our military again, as Obama did. Well, Army Secretary went on MSNBC in recent weeks with Morning Joe and was talking about how, you know, these accusations of a woke military, they're just hurting our recruiting. So all you mean people that are talking about the military being woke, you're the problem. Of course, we're not the problem, speaking about the Biden administration. Let's listen to the Army Secretary.
Madam Secretary, thank you so much for being with us. So our troops are the best and the brightest. We're stronger than we've been relative to the rest of the world at any time since World War II. And yet, we've got a lot of politicians in Washington, D.C. trashing them. I know you don't want to get into the politics of it all, but I am curious. All of the trashing of our men and women in uniform by Republicans, all of the suggestion that they're weak and woke, all of the suggestions that they wish they were more like Russians, is that hurting our recruiting in Middle America?
Well, Joe, I would say, first of all, we're not a woke army. We're a ready army. We're certainly far more ready than the Russian army. You know, the United States Army is the world's greatest land fighting force. And I do think that that constant drumbeat that we sometimes hear about a weak military, a woke military, is a little bit of a negative drip, drip, drip that is undermining our recruiting at a time where we really can't afford that.
Okay, so here we go. We deflect, right? We shift blame. Of course, I mean, Biden's team makes no mistakes, you know? I mean, they're great. And all you people out there that are criticizing our woke policies, you know, you're the problem. I mean, our policies aren't the problem. You're the problem. That's the narrative we got there from the Army Secretary. Well, if you need some proof here, let's listen to this this Army ad that was put out about 2 years ago as Biden took the, you know, the chief position in our country in the White House as president, our commander in chief. Let's listen to this ad and listen closely to the two mommies section. Let's listen.
Although I had a fairly typical childhood, took ballet, played violin, I also marched for equality. I like to think I've been defending freedom from an early age. When I was 6 years old, one of my moms had an accident that left her paralyzed. Doctors said she might never walk again. But she tapped into my family's pride to get back on her feet, eventually standing at the altar to marry my other mom. With such powerful role models, I finished high school at the top of my class and then attended UC Davis, where I joined a sorority full of other strong women.
Well, there you have it. I mean, we've got to slip it in somehow. I mean, what does the Army have to do with, you know, two women, you know, getting quote unquote married? What does that have to do with drawing recruits? Oh, we're trying to be diverse. Oh, okay. We're trying to be woke. I got it. And we're trying to appeal to, you know, the one percenters out there. And so, you know, on one hand, the Army Secretary says, oh, you know, you guys that are criticizing us, y'all are just hurting our recruiting. I mean, it's all unfounded. I mean, the military's not woke. We're ready. And then on the other hand, they're running ads trying to recruit people. And they're getting all into this diversity, equity, and inclusion and talking about so-and-so having two moms. And so you can't have it both ways. And this is, you know, this is the focus of the Biden administration, and it's all about, you know, it's all about appealing to the radicals. It's all about appealing to the radicals. And we talked about this a little bit on Monday, but this is, you know, recruitment is, and I'm, Bobby's a, you know, retired Air Force guy, and I know many people that have served in different branches, but you draw people to the military. Number one, you've got to want to serve, right? You've got to want to serve our country. You want to be proud of our nation. Many of our military recruits in various branches are, their family's been in the military, all right? So their dad, granddad, you know, mom, whatever, was in the military. And so there's a little bit of heritage there. There's some pride that comes with that, following in the footsteps of, you know, someone you look up to. But the reason recruitment declines when people like Biden take over is because they completely distract from the primary purpose and duties of our military, and in this case of the Army. When you focus on this Marxist garbage that goes against the very values and principles in which our nation and our nation's defense forces were founded on, then no wonder you can't recruit people. When America is bad, America ought to be ashamed. America shouldn't even be here. We're a bunch of white supremacist mumbo jumbos, and we don't know what we're doing, and China's the best nation on the earth. when you get that kind of hogwash from the administration and Blinken's over here, you know, tripping over himself, no wonder we can't attract recruits. This is a Biden problem, not an American problem.
At the Core podcasts are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the second segment of The Core here on American Family Radio. Walker Wildman, your host. Glad to be with you today. Hey, that was Beauty for Ashes by Chris McClarney. Worship Wednesday is the show today, and that's when we got a worship song coming into the second. Hey, Wesley's in studio with me, as he is each Wednesday. Wesley, welcome.
Hey, I'm glad to be on, and at some point, we've got to fulfill the request of all the audience out there of my own intro, separate from yours.
Okay, you've had that request.
I've had the request. It's about to, no, I'm totally
from
lying.
From all listeners, you said?
I'm totally lying. I have
had to wait a long time.
Yeah. I'm kidding. I have not had one of those. But I do look forward to, in all honesty, I do look forward to each Wednesday being on the program with you. And we have different guests on at times, and then other times I bring a devotion. And so I'm looking forward to what this Wednesday has for our AFR audience.
Absolutely. So, Bobby, if you get an email from, like an anonymous person or some kind of, Joe Smith, it's probably Wesley is using an alias to recommend his own intro.
Yeah, I'm going to call IT about the spam.
Yeah. Check the IP address on that one.
That's right. That's right.
Sent from IP address AFA Tupelo, Mississippi office right next to Walker's.
At that point, we probably will have some issues.
Yeah. Hey, good point, Wesley, about the show and our guest with us. We have on with us Gabrielle Bruno. She's co-founder of Celebrate Life Month, CelebrateLifeMonth.com. Gabrielle's with us now. Hey, Gabrielle, welcome to the program.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I am so excited to be here.
Well, Gabrielle, you co-founded what is called Celebrate Life Month for June of this year. Give Wes and I and our audience a little bit of background or how this came about.
Oh my goodness. This is just the most exciting story. So on May 23rd this year, I was in some corporate intercession groups, and through prayer, the Lord impressed upon me that there was something really big that was happening. And it was the upcoming 1 year anniversary of the Dobbs decision, which is the decision through which the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade. This is a huge, huge, huge deal. For 50 years, for half a century, Americans, Christians pleaded with God, and we begged God. We said, we don't want this to be the law of our land. We don't want this to be what our country is coming behind. And we really want the opportunity to let our voices be heard. For 50 years, that's 5 decades. And then last year, God did it. And it was huge. And so on May 23rd of this year, God impressed upon me that he wanted a huge celebration the entire month of June to celebrate what he did. And it was really incredible when he gave me this word. My instinct was, okay, God, what am I supposed to do now? You want a huge celebration. What does that mean? What do we do? And so later that evening, I got on the phone with two of my friends, Julie and Cody. I said, I know God is saying to do this. I don't know how to do this. I just graduated from law school. So I'm in the middle of what they call studying for the bar, otherwise known as 10 weeks of torture. And I have no time on my hands. And I said, what are we supposed to do? I can't even tell you. Within 1 week, that night, I went, I found out how to make a logo. I made a logo. I prayed. I said, God, what do you want in this logo? The next day was Wednesday, May 24th. I said, God is doing something big. We're going to need a website just so people can get connected and can figure out what this is. I bought a URL on Wednesday. By Thursday morning at 9 a.m., we had a working website that was phenomenal. On Thursday morning, I was on a prayer call with intercessors from all across America and some international. I announced to them Life Month. They went crazy about it. Everybody just felt the Holy Spirit's hand upon it. And that's what's so exciting, because within a week, we have a very professional 90-second promo video that was completely free and the hand of God upon that. We have a logo. We have so many resources on this website. It blows my mind. There's a scripture plan, daily devotionals. There's a proclamation that you can share independently that your mayors, your county council, your governor can sign on to. There's a calendar of events. There was stuff happening in Alaska, Louisiana. People started to put together events to celebrate Life Month. And it happened so fast. Nothing ever moves that fast if the hand of God and the Holy Spirit isn't on it. I've done a lot of things. I know that y'all have too. Mm-hmm. Nothing moves that quickly if the Holy Spirit's not fueling it.
You know, I'm sitting here. This is Wesley speaking. We're talking about, this was like 3 weeks ago. This is not last year. And so for this to come about like it did, and I know that we've discussed this being something that we'd like to see done before in the last year when praise God, Dobbs was overturned, or Roe versus Wade was overturned. Now, with that said, though, you were able to pull this off. Now, what is your? I may go back and forth here. I want to know a little bit more how our people can be involved in it. But before I do, is this something that is a national thing? Is this a statewide thing? Do you have politicians behind you? Is this more official? Like, where is this for the future? Where do you plan on this going for the future? Hmm.
This is a global movement. Okay. It is huge. And I'll be completely honest, on May 23rd, when the Lord started to impress upon me this, I had no idea. But over the past 3 weeks, that is unreal to realize it has been literally, well, it's been not even a month since the Lord impressed this upon me. And then 3 weeks we've been celebrating. There are people, we have daily praise parties and people join from Australia, from Italy, from all over the country. There have been so many people behind this. The Justice Foundation and Alan Parker, who's a dear friend, they're all about this. Philip Haregi is a great friend about this. People keep sending me emails from other ministries and other cities and other organizations that are promoting Life Month. And it shocks me to see how far this has spread so quickly, but that's because it's not me and it's not us. This is something God called for. And I do just wanna take a few moments because there's a really specific message behind Life Month. It's more than just some sort of promotional marketing strategy. It's none of that.
Amen.
What God came down and said was, three different things, and they're very important. The first is Revelations 12:11. That scripture says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and we love not ourselves unto death. And what the Lord impressed upon me was, When God overturned Roe versus Wade last year, that is a testimony. 50 mm-hmm. years they prayed. There are generations of people who prayed for that outcome and did not get to see it happen. Mm. We are the generation that saw that, and that's huge. That testimony belongs to us, and we have to share it. That's how we overcome. And also on the website, there was literally a whole slew of miracles leading up to the overturning of Roe versus Wade that showed us that God was going to overturn it. So I'm a lawyer. Like men, we do the law, we write the briefs, but ultimately it was God's hand that overturned Roe versus Wade. So God said, you have testimonies, and the important part is to share the testimonies, because God does good things for all of us every day. And that's from when we're born. Life begins at conception, but God is with us every single day until we take our final breath. So no matter what it might be, even if you're not attached to the pro-life movement, you have personal testimonies, and it might be times you overcame addiction, you overcame depression, heartbreak, financial problems, relationship issues, homelessness, whatever that might be that you struggled through, God delivered you. And the point that God said is, I want the world to be flooded with the testimonies of what I have done, because I'm a life-giving God. So that was like a very, very critical part, was the testimonies. And that's what this is commemorating, the one-year anniversary of overturning Roe. The second part, though, is just as critical. I'm very passionate about this, because the second scripture he brought us to was 2 Chronicles 20:21. And in this part of the scripture, King Jehoshaphat is leading, and all of the surrounding nations are attacking. They've all allied together, and they all want to attack King Jehoshaphat's armies. Ironically, this is right after King Jehoshaphat appoints godly judges. And what did we see last year? We saw judges who took godly action and were bold and courageous, even though I don't know that I'd want to be in their place. It's a scary place to be. But in 2 Chronicles 20:21, King Jehoshaphat sees all of these armies approaching to attack together. And he fasts, the nation prays, and then he consults with the people. God tells them, he says, this battle does not belong to you. This battle belongs to the Lord. And then what does King Jehoshaphat do? He sends out the worshipers first. He sends out the praisers. And I just take a minute and put yourself there. This was a physical thing that happened. He had armies attacking, right? With swords drawn, coming closer and closer. Do you know how much courage it must have taken to pause and to say, God, you want me to send out somebody who's singing? That's what you want me to send? There's swords coming my way. So everything y'all just talked about, there is stuff going on in the world that is serious and that needs to be handled by the Lord. And God is not ignoring it. God knows it's happening. He knows there's still states that have abortion. He knows there's stuff going on in the White House. He knows our economy. He sees all of it. But this was a very specific message he had for us, and a strategy. And he said, will you send out the worshipers first? Will you pause all the complaining? Righteously so. We're not complaining about bad things. But will you pause, and for the entire month of June, will you worship and praise me and what I've already done? And that's so critical, because the remembrance, the recall of all of those miracles, from overturning Roe versus Wade, which is national, to the little things like opening your eyes this morning or being able to pay your bill, keep the lights on in your house, every single one of those things helps you to remember that God's in charge, that he's covering you, and that increases your faith. And that's the third and final part. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. That scripture says that we stir one another up to love, to good works. We encourage one another. I once heard it preached about this scripture. You know, a football team, if they're in it, and it might be the Super Bowl, it might be really important, and they might be down by a lot and somebody gets hurt, they don't just all like walk away from that person and say, all right, well, better luck next time. We're just going to throw in the hat. No way. They get together, they get in their huddle, they start jumping up and down, and they encourage one another. So when we share our stories about the times that God has helped us, that encourages the body of believers. Unity is important. Courage is contagious. And we see what happens when people attack the Christian ideology and they cancel them. That's first off, besides the point. But here's the thing. When one person says, I'm going to celebrate life, and an organization says, yeah, I'm on board too, and then a politician jumps in and says, I'm going to do it too, that encouragement spreads. That courage is contagious, and the body of believers becomes unstoppable, all out of obedience to the Lord.
Hey, Gabrielle, if our listeners out there are asking themselves, what can I do? How can I participate? What is my role out there? You got about 1 minute. Tell our audience what they can do.
There are so many ways you can be involved, big and small. Go to www.celebratelifemonth.com. That's www.celebratelifemonth.com. And when you go to that website, first off, you're going to have everything I just talked about written out so you can see that. But there's an entire page that says ways to participate. There's a kids corner. You can get your kids involved. If you're upset about what's being taught to kids, there are children's books that you can purchase online that celebrate life, that talk about expressly the fruits of the Holy Spirit. There's coloring pages for kids. There's music that you can listen to. There's a proclamation that you can share. But the number one way that you can celebrate, and this is what God asked us to do, tell your testimonies. And that can be whether it's in a Bible study setting, that can be whether you're at work sitting with a coworker and you actually build up the courage and you say, God, you asked me to do this. I'm going to sacrifice. Revelations 12:11, the last part, sacrifice. And I'm going to be vulnerable and say to your coworker, hey, can I tell you a story about a time that God helped me? Could be the mailman. It could be a stranger in your neighborhood. You need to tell your testimonies because God wants to infiltrate the airwaves and let people know he is real. The last thing I'll share in that 2 Chronicles 20, the way it ends, so they send out the worshipers and God fights the battle. All of these surrounding armies start to fight each other and the surrounding nations have a fear of the Lord that ends up protecting King Jehoshaphat. Mm. When we tell stories about what God's done for us, people recognize God is real and he's alive and he's the one who's fighting for us. So please go to the website, tell your testimonies. We have praise parties every night at 8 p.m. All the info's on the website. And I so appreciate y'all letting me come on to share.
Wonderful job.
All right. Thanks, Gabrielle. CelebrateLifeMonth.com. Wesley?
Hey, I enjoyed it. You know, I'm on the website now. There's half of what she wasn't able to get to, so I recommend going to the website because it gives you a play-by-play how you can get involved in Per Life Month.
Absolutely. CelebrateLifeMonth.com. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Walker Wildman.
Welcome back to the program. If you missed part of the last segment or you just didn't get that URL, it's celebratelifemonth.com, celebratelifemonth.com. And, of course, each day as we publish the show in the form of a podcast, Bobby uploads various links and resources and links to resources on our podcast page over at AFR.net. So anytime you're like, hey, I missed that link, I want to know about that story or this individual that they interviewed, we make all that information available over at our podcast page at AFR.net. We do have on with us a frequent guest or once before or twice before guest of the program, good friend of the ministry here, Stephen Black. He's executive director over at First Stone Ministries. Stephen's on with us. Hey, Stephen, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thank you, sir. Good to be here.
Yeah, last time you were in Tupelo, you came on the program. You guys were recording some resources, some video resources, which we're actually going to talk about today. But before we do so, for those who maybe say, hey, I haven't heard of Stephen or First Stone, tell them a little bit about you guys' work.
Yeah, we are a parachurch ministry out of Oklahoma City, offering pastoral care, support group. And a big part of what I do is to educate the church. And so I've written a book called Freedom Realized. A lot of the material in the book helps equip pastors and people that are struggling to find freedom that is realized, living a life free from the labels of LGBTQ plus sign Christianity, which really there is no such thing. And so, but it is living a life fully centered in Christ and doing what we can to come beside the church, to equip the church, to help people to find that lasting freedom in the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Well, Stephen, when you were here, you've partnered with AFA for several years now. You played a role in the In His Image documentary, and but more recently, Yourself, along with Laura Lee Stanlake and our own MD Perkins, the three of you got together and produced two video resources, which are very, very helpful. But let's kind of tackle these one at a time. Give our audience a brief overview of some of the content, kind of like a sneak peek, if you will. And, of course, we'll give a link for them to go order the resource on their own. But the first one, you participated in both of these. The first video resource that we produced in recent months is Practical Ways to Minister to the Sexually Broken. So this is targeted towards people, family, churches, ministers that need help. They need to be equipped on how to talk to, how to deal with people that are dealing with sexual sin in their life. Give us a little bit of background to this video resource.
Yeah, so when people are coming to ministries like ours or, you know, asking me for directly for help, pastors, I meet with a lot of pastors. They want to understand how is the best way to go about tackling a very difficult subject in our day, which unfortunately pastors and leaders, even AFA, you know, listed as hate groups, haters. And so to do that, very truthfully, and to do it without compromise, and yet to do it compassionately. And so that's what we do. We unpack that and helping people to understand some of the causality. And when, as it is true, when you understand somebody's history and you understand the difficulty that they've gone through, it gives a little bit of empathy and sympathy to be able to help someone. And so that's what we do with the practical ways of ministry, is to unpack some of the causality, how to really disciple and pastor people. And then we also give encouragement to parents and those that are really dealing with significant grief and sorrow over having prodigals. And so it's really something that the American Family Studios have put together and done such a great job. Your team there, they just do an excellent job of everything they do and putting together some of the most wonderful documentaries and these cultural concern helps. So we're really looking forward to seeing the distribution of that in the church far and wide, because the church really needs it.
Mm, absolutely. Pastors need to be showing this content in their churches and handing this stuff out, because to your point, this is not just a resource and a subject that people need, that pastors need help on, or ministry leaders, if you will. This is a subject that every believer needs to be knowledgeable on, at least to a certain degree, to be able to address this from a biblical perspective. Before we move on to this second one, by the way, all of this is available at streaming.afa.net for free. You just have to have an account. Streaming.afa.net. If you want to live stream the video or on demand the video there, you can get the DVD over at resources.afa.net. Resources.afa.net. If you want the DVD. But Stephen, let me ask you this: when you look in the media and you look in pop culture and in the world, you know, number one, the first thing is they present this sexual sin as something to be proud about, something to flaunt, something that there should be no regret about, no shame. But in reality, the truth of the matter is, in your experience ministering to people, not everybody wants to be in this lifestyle. For many people, they want out. They just don't know how to get out.
Yeah, well said, because people are damaged. They've been sinned against, as it was true in my story. It's true, and I have to say that probably 60% of the males and 70 to 80% of the females have all been sexually molested prepubescent. Mm. And so people out there that have all of this distortion and really darkness in their minds of feeling attracted to their same sex, when you look at their histories, they've been sinned against. And they've had distortion. Now, those numbers kind of came down in our survey. And ironically, in the late 90s, we started seeing the advent of the internet. And over the last 20 years now, you can receive, and children, this is happening with children with smartphone devices, they're receiving some of the most graphic forms of pornography. And so it's polluting the mind and making people feel like because they are tantalized or somehow tempted or, you know, stirred up in their flesh, that they may somehow be quote unquote queer or gay. And this is an onslaught of perversion that has hit our society. And so it's really very important to understand we are first and foremost, we're created in the image of God, and yet we are fallen beings. We are sexual beings. And because of that, the enemy knows he can get inroads into children's lives, and it's happening all across America with the normalization of these kinds of ideas of being something you should be proud of from kindergarten on up. And this is an onslaught of propaganda in most of our government-run schools and public schools. And so parents need to be aware of this, that this is happening at a rate we have never seen in American history.
And Stephen, to your point on the smartphone devices, I mean, I've had on Dr. Jessica Peck, pediatric nurse practitioner, also podcast host with AFR, to talk about this. And she tells people, you know, straightforward, kids and young adults don't need social media until they're at least 18 or older. And then I would go farther and say the whole phone thing. I mean, if you want your child or your teen to have a phone so they can call you for whatever reason, for an emergency, folks, as parents, we've got to lock these phones down. And there's plenty of parental controls out there. There are ways to lock these phones down where all they can do is make phone calls, and you can even pick who they get to call and who they get to text. I mean, there's so many controls out there that there is no reason as parents we should be allowing underage people who are 14, 15, 16, to be having access to this disgusting, sinful material on their phones with a few clicks. Stephen, on the other resource, and by the way, Stephen, one thing that I've noticed is there is a growing number of people, not just Christians, but people all across the country and parents that are concerned about the radical nature and the constant push of this LGBTQ stuff. But it's one thing to complain about it and say, I don't like that, that's bad. But we've got to be able to counter this with God's design, Stephen. Otherwise, we're cursing the darkness but not offering any light.
Yeah, well, that's why we need healthy homes, healthy marriages, and we need to demonstrate that and demonstrate really underscoring forgiveness. You know, it doesn't take you very long to be married to understand that when I had the pleasure of officiating or talking premarital, these bands that we wear, right, is unending forgiveness. And this needs to be demonstrated in covenant love, in marriage, and the way that we respond, and to teach our children God's perfect ways of relating and relating in healthy ways, rather than going into these really dark areas of, you know, unfettered social media and really the propaganda that's taking place in schools and also in the entertainment industry. There's so much that now all you have to do is just even turn on the TV, and every other commercial now seems to be propagating the message of LGBTQ in one way or another. And so we need to be circumspect, and we need to be very involved in our children's lives to communicate what is the truth. And it is going to come up. I mean, it's everywhere. You go into the cereal section of all places in the store, and you've got, you know, LGBTQ pride on the cereal boxes now. And so, you know, we are going to have to teach our children what the truth is and really display the beauty of God's divine intention in marriage.
Absolutely. And on that point, you know, we talk about often, you know, what does the Bible say about this? And yourself and M.D. Perkins sat down for this second installment, if you will, of this subject matter. And the topic of that video session is the theological error of quote-unquote gay Christianity. Let me ask you this, Stephen. In your experience, I mean, this is, correct me if I'm wrong, but Christians don't, quote, have it all together on this subject. I mean, there are some serious theological people straying theologically on this issue. Am I right?
Oh, very, very right. M.D. Perkins' book, the resource that is also available now with AFA, confronting the gay Christian movement and the harm of it. And in this DVD that you're offering, this discussion that we have, is to confront this really softening of God's beauty of holiness in human sexuality. And so what they do is they bring in this orientation narrative. It's psychology, which has been going on now since the mid-70s, where they lowered the standard of morality by removing homosexuality from the DSM. So that's a diagnostic standard that the psychologists used to have that removes the idea that homosexual desire and behavior is neurotic. And actually, it is neurotic. And you know, people need to understand, I know because I've gone through many years of healing. I lived as a gay man 40 years ago. And so, yeah, it was a lifetime for me, but I've had to work on stuff in my own life and then pastor people for years. But what is happening now is the church has received some psychology, like from Mark Yarhouse and the Gospel Coalition, and this idea of sexual minorities as being a viable pathway for people to embrace as an identity. And so what that is a segue to the idea that same-sex attraction or homosexuality needs to have a viable label put in front of Christ. So they call themselves LGBTQ or gay Christians, and this is a tragedy. It is sowing a cruel bondage into the church and into our young people's lives to think that you can take on an LGBTQ identity because you're same-sex attracted. And so this is what MD and I talk about, and we unpack the Revoice movement, the players in it, who's involved in this, and what the Bible actually has to say about this. This is going to be part of what I talk about at the Marriage, Family, and Life Conference as well, and to bring the truth of Ephesians 4, which is really a really beautiful passage that really unpacks this whole notion of the mind being corrupted with same-sex attraction, because you're supposed to be renewed in the spirit of the mind. And that's what we need to be teaching. And so God's word does masterfully handle the truth of this deception that has come into the church. And that's what MD and I are talking about.
Powerful stuff, and very biblical subject matter that we're discussing here with Stephen Black over at First Stone Ministries. Hey, Stephen, thanks so much for addressing this issue head on, and we'll see you in July.
Well, thank you, and thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure.
Absolutely. That's Stephen Black with First Stone Ministries, and they're daily helping people that are struggling with sexual sin in their lives, with addiction. They're helping people get out, and they're pointing them to Christ, the Savior, and they're speaking a message of redemption and how Christ is our King and our affections should be towards Him. Thanks so much for joining the program. We'll see you next time.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.